We will sing from hymn number 178. And after the hymn, we will be served by our brother Arto Syrjälä. As our fathers believed before, and they sowed and they reaped, and we preach like our fathers preached before. Now when we are beginning these services and arranging them, we have this kind of hope and prayer that the services could always hear that voice of the Good Shepherd, and that at these services we could preach like the believers preached in other services before this, so that we would preach that unchanging Word of God, and we could always gather about that same Word. For my service text, I thought to read from the Acts of the Apostles, its 28th chapter. It's verses, chapter 28, 21 to 24. It is of a small service event from the year 60. We are now living 2020, and we can at these services ponder and wonder that now at these services 2,000 years later, is there something similar at these services? And these words are in Jesus' name as follows. And they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this sect. We know that it is speaking against everywhere." So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus and both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by these things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Paul, the apostle, our brother, was imprisoned. He was brought just recently into Rome. And this event then relates of Paul being there. Here in the Acts of the Apostles at the very end, it says that he was in his own room. He was there 2 years, and he accepted all those who came to see him. And he spoke to them of the kingdom of God and of the Lord Jesus, and nobody could resist him. But now, when we look at this text of Paul, and we go into this text, I would think, what is this? This text so vividly brings out those many kinds of matters. One matter is this, that, like I just said, those small services were held in the year 60. And now we are keeping services in the year 2020. Summer services, these suviseurat, where we are still preaching this word of God. Speaking of this same text, how patient is God against man, toward man, for all of us. Namely, this, that 20 or 2,000 years ago, God spoke so patiently then through the words of Paul, encouraging them unto repentance, preaching unto them of the kingdom of God. And furthermore, then 2,000 years later, God in this same way encourages people onto repentance, to the believing of sins, and believing that he sent his Son to people. This time of visitation, we should ponder it, think about it, that Psalm 50 talks about this time of visitation, that God, in such a powerful way, calls people onto the repentance. It was like the power of the sun determining when it would shine, and God allows the sun to shine, and he can bring himself to people. It is so familiar to us that this familiar grace, Son of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is that which is in the gospel, then this time of visitation has begun already in the beginning of time and will last until the end of time. But one exception we see in the Bible, it was the time of Noah. There was that time of visitation that suddenly ended when Noah entered the ark. No longer could the message of Noah be proclaimed. No longer could they hear that precious gospel. But those believers who were safe and sound in that ark, then when they were released from that ark, they again began to talk about the kingdom of God. And another thing that comes to mind in this connection, when we talked about Paul, who there in Rome, we could say that his work and day of labor were ending, concluding as he was in prison. And he could then lower the basket from which he sowed the seed. And in the passing of this time, he would leave this precious vineyard, this meadow. He no longer was able to do this work. This is the time of God. And then new brothers come. That gospel message, the unending chain of the gospel, it has reached onto us here in the northern parts of Finland. It can also reach many other people in different nations. Paul, perhaps, or soon after this, left his testament to his beloved young co-worker, who was also a worker in the vineyard of God. He had written to Timothy, probably here from Rome, and he wanted to point out this most important matter. Preach the word, instruct and guide with all instruction. So Paul already beheld that time which would come. He said that he would soon be sacrificed, for his day of ending is about to come. I have fought the good fight, and I have been preserved in faith, and I have then reserved for me is that rest which is reserved not only for me, but everybody who love his appearing. Paul, to us, just like all of us, in this vineyard of God, this work does not ever end. Most important is this, that we would remain and we could gain our reward, our victory. It is that which he wants to remind Timothy about. Paul, our brother, we notice his patience. It is that marvelous patience. He was imprisoned. He was captured. We could say that he was certainly tried, and he was being given the capital punishment, punishment of death. And that is why he turned on to Caesar. And he said that there is nothing which with you can accuse me of. He said that I have nothing but patience and love toward you, even though we could say that he was accused of so much. But what then did this Paul do when this came upon him? And he was brought and listened to. He was brought into Rome. He says in this way, that they were not hard-hearted in listening to this message. He endeavored to preach and to proclaim there in Damascus and in Judea and in Jerusalem and in those suburbs or side towns. What did he preach? He preached this, that you should make repentance. You should separate yourselves from the bonds of the enemy of souls and receive the forgiveness of sins and come to own that precious gospel. And Paul says that for this reason he was captured in the temple and brought to prison. And he spoke to Agrippa, and he also spoke to them about this. And soon Agrippa said that it is not very far that you would get me to repent. But Paul says that I wish you would, and all who hear me desire that without these bonds I could preach freely. And then this Paul, his faithfulness to his sender, we hear this from, like the brother's sermon before this, how that God has sent us others in their time, and also us. And we are advised to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Preach of the forgiveness of sins. And this Paul was obedient even unto the very end, like we ought to be obedient. And why was Paul then obedient? We read this from the letter of Romans, this matter, that we are duty bound to preach this first to the Greeks, to the wise and the foolish, to the Romans, of each and every one, that they could hear the gospel, which is the power of God unto each one who believeth unto salvation. And it is also said in the book of Romans, Paul says that he is not ashamed of this gospel. And of this gospel, we hear that righteousness which is acceptable to God. It is unto faith. And Peter also had this opportunity to forbid, reject this sermon, like some people have done. I have also heard people who reject, who claim that life would be easier if they do not accept. But Paul also perhaps thought, like in the letter to the Hebrews, is written to the old believers, there is a time to return. Return to from whence you have gone. We seek for something better. It is something heavenly, like Paul sought for the heavenly. And it also was said in this way in our text, that those Jews who had gone according to the call of Paul, and they spoke of this matter, that Paul said that he had not done anything wrong, nothing by which they could accuse him for or judge him for by the law. But we also notice here that they spoke of the new meeting with Paul. And they said that they would like to hear of these. What does Paul think of this? So often we hesitate in this, that, oh, how poor confessors of faith we are. We are so poor at speaking about this living faith to our near ones, our dear ones, our workers, co-workers, and whoever. Isn't it so very precious that someone tells us that I would also gladly listen to that? When you tell me about these matters, we would want to ask that, what do you think about these matters of faith? And we may certainly think that I do not remember very well the scriptures. I cannot relate of much. But we say, like Paul said when he, to the epistle of Romans, that I have this ever-pricking thorn. We would want to repent. When we have this kind of burden, pricking, oh, how many close ones, dear ones, co-workers, We wish that they would understand, that they would accept this kingdom of God and receive the grace of repentance. And another matter which Paul also relates of his desire, his will, that the people of Israel would be saved, that he could be as if cursed for the sake of Jesus, so that his relatives could receive the grace of repentance, and that they would receive uplifting. This is our hope, just as it was Paul's hope. We wish that when people arrange services, people would come, and that people would find this kingdom, that they would find the forgiveness, and that they would become children of God. And there was this precious matter, this kind of sight, what those people of Jew desired, that they said, that I would know of this, and we know that it often causes resistance. And we remember that Paul was someone from Nazarene, and they were shocked by this. They were surprised that he was a member of the Nazarenes. And we would think in this way, that those outsiders thought that he was some kind of an outsider. That how can we remember those believers, Mary and Martha and Lazarus and John, the disciples and believers, the brothers and sisters of Jesus, that they were all some kind of members of a sect of which people were accused and called. Paul did not feel this offensive, but instead he said, when he spoke to the governor Felix, that I am testifying to you that if you call me a heretic, I speak of God. I speak of everything that is in the law and the prophets, that we have the same will, the same wish, that we have. We know that there is the resurrection for both the just and the unjust, and that I would desire to practice and work in this way, that I would not offend and break one's conscience. Paul was accused of being a leader of a sect, but Paul found it more important for him to be believing upon the Old Testament prophets. He believed upon that resurrected Lord Jesus, believed upon the resurrection of all the righteousness. And we remember and recall this matter. He spoke that which was written, and what was written was the Old Testament of that time. But you who are endeavoring as a believer today, we are often labeled to be old or conservative Lestadians. I don't know if to some of you have also been this kind of a difficult situation. When people say that they believe in God, the Lord Jesus and Christ, and then they say. And if they know that much has been spoken of the conservative Lestadians, we can say comfortably with Paul, it is no hurt unto us, though we are spoken of, called this name. We believe everything which is in the scriptures, like Paul wanted to confess his faith. We confess that which is written in the Word. We trust in the teachings of Jesus, just like has been said of the believers of Ephesus. They were not Jews, but the holy people of God. And that they were believers who were taught to be as cornerstones. It is important for us that we can be believing, just like the fathers before us have believed. We want to also believe and to await that new day when we get new life. We say that Paul spoke of this kingdom in the early hours of the day. He related unto Jesus. Paul, therefore, had two important messages. I would not like to predict, but if I were to say that of these services that are just now beginning, I would say that the most of all we would be speaking about the kingdom of God at these services. And we would be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, we would be talking about other things, temporal things. And if we would think that of this kingdom of God and its line of thought, we realize that we should speak and explain that a person needs this gospel. And when Nicodemus came late at night to Jesus, and Nicodemus said that we know that you are of God, you speak of God, you could not teach otherwise unless you are of God. Imagine what Jesus answered unto him. He did not go to say that, yes, I am. I am the Son of God. I have been born of God. But Jesus just said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless someone be born again, can he see the kingdom of God? It is a marvelous matter. Jesus brought forth this important message of the kingdom of God. One cannot be a member of this kingdom unless they have, like a child, received the forgiveness of sins, made repentance, and been born by the Spirit. Then it is an important matter that we notice this, that there are very many spiritualities in this world. Many of them speak of Jesus. But then in God's kingdom, it is so often spoken of God's kingdom. But they, those others, do not speak of God's kingdom. when we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about the members of God's congregation. Rather interesting is this, what Jesus says about the Last Supper. We wonder, what did they say about God's kingdom? That they desire to do this. I will not let you go until I suffer. I will not give in until it is proclaimed of God's kingdom. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom comes. We remember the scriptures of the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in God's kingdom, in that connection, in that salvation plan. There was this. We could also think in this way. When we think of us believers, that event, it was left there 2,000 years ago. That sacrificial lamb was sacrificed. He shed his blood, but he also arose on the third day. Jesus did not get left there. Namely, he left and has been completing the kingdom of God. We bring about us, in other words, we carry everything about Jesus to others so that Jesus could be revealed. Is it not so preciously said that to so many we want to proclaim, and this is what we want to preach and teach unto others? We need not be embarrassed of these events. Always when we are preached to, taught about the kingdom of God, we are always wanting to sprinkle the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's kingdom is nigh. It has come. And elsewhere it says, Paul so strongly says in Galatians that he has been crucified on the cross. We are not living only, but all the days we are living, we want to live them according to the faith that Jesus Christ has taught. This is what we want to proclaim through the grace of God. Paul also knew this, that we have not been able to match this righteous work. None of us have. We are as if bound by this, bound unto Christ and his resurrection. We willingly want to carry the sacrifices of the Lord. And for this reason, believe without merits, without payment, the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus says in Matthew 13, in the parable of the prodigal son, he relates of this. And the disciples asked, why do you teach in parables? And Jesus says unto the disciples that for to you the kingdom of God has been revealed, but not to them. What are these mysteries of God's kingdom? Now you might also think, dear brother and sister, I know so little about this. And as not to even mention this kingdom of God, that if we want to know something about this kingdom, we can find it in the scriptures. When we talk about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, then it is that which is opened unto the believers, something that is foolishness to others. Once Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And then the disciples answered with many questions, that some say that you are Jeremiah. But none of them had said that he is Jesus, the Son of God. But Peter said to them, "You are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said that this was revealed unto you through the Holy Spirit and not through your flesh and blood. It is not silent unto you, this, or secret. It has been revealed to you and me that he, Jesus, came as the Son of God. He could not spare us, save us, unless he was sent by God, born of Virgin Mary. Do you have such a mystery, such a secret? God's kingdom, God's congregation is our mother. One time Jesus was at these services, and it was said to him that, "Look, your mother and your father, your brothers and sisters are here." And he turned on to his own and he said, "Here, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Even this matter is so incomprehensible to the outsider that he who has a mother here upon this earth, a congregation here to claim, which is free and from above, the mother of us all. Sometimes we think and guess that what is this? It is a mother, it is a caretaker, a guardian. And they wonder and they ponder. And they wonder what can be done to, like somebody thinks, that how do you feel? Oh, how precious it is that we have this congregation mother here on earth. Someone who remembers me well. Like Peter says, or Jesus says, that we could wash one another's feet. And then there is that also, when we think about the mother and children, there cannot be a mother in the right way unless there has been someone that has once been a child. And a child cannot be a child of a mother. Like a mother may often say to her daughter, that then you will understand when you become a mother yourself. That when we have been able to be a child in between, we do not realize what man mother means to us. That when we have these companions, these fellow believers, sometimes we may be complaining that life is tough and we want to say and encourage unto one another that you need not understand everything. You can just believe simply. All of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. Is it not precious to be a child in this kingdom of God, and a child of God? And one thing about this still, of which is spoken in God's kingdom. This is a kingdom of grace. To this world, it is an incomprehensible thing that the kingdom of God is spoken to about as a kingdom of God, a kingdom of grace, one where one can receive the forgiveness of all sins. There is no forgiveness, no limit to forgiveness. If some brother or sister regrets that they have sinned, they have penitence over this sin. And Paul here had preached that the kingdom of God is here. And he tried to convince them to believe. And some of them would be convinced and others disbelieved. The old scriptures say of this, that some believed what Paul spoke unto them, and others did not believe what Paul said. But Paul wanted to assure them that this is the way it is, that certainly this is how we too can believe. We are the same kind. We can receive this personally, the forgiveness of sins. You who are listening to this, that you who are listening with that kind of ear, that you wish to come into this kingdom. Now we are speaking of the kingdom of God. We are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe. You can believe your sins forgiven, your unbelief forgiven, in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. Dear brother and sister, you who are waiting for these words, you can remain believing comfortingly, trusting upon the mysteries of God and the message of the forgiveness of sins. You can believe in Jesus' name and holy precious blood. Be of good cheer. In the name and holy name of Jesus, amen. We were served by Brother Arto Syrjälä.